Here's RNZ Pacific News editor Susana Leotawa with us. Talofa.
Talofa and whakalofa lahi atu. Excuse me, whakalofa lahi atu, which is Niuean greeting, this being Niuean Language Week.
I'll practice that because me too. You stumble over it. I don't like my chances.
No, it's all good. I think it's so important that we can just share our stumbles because that's really how we start to learn. So that's where I'm up to as well, and I figured I'd just go for it.
It's beautiful.
Good
actually.
Morning. Good Isn't
morning,
it lovely?
Susanna. Yeah. We're starting with big news for a Pacific Women's NGO.
Yes, exactly. Pacifica Inc. Was established in 1976, and they've just been granted. They've been waiting a whole year because their application was submitted last June, the first 2020, and then it's been delayed by COVID-19. But the United Nations has given Pacifica the special consultative status by the United Nations Economic and Social Council, which is a huge deal. It really opens a whole lot of doors for Pacifica to be operating on an international scale and really also be recognised for all the work that it has done and is doing. For people who don't know about Pacifica, it was established after there was a non-governmental 1976 Conference of Women, Pacific Women's Conference. It was held in Auckland that year, and then Pacifica was established as a result of that. The late Paddy Walker had a massive amount to do with getting it off the ground, and it was an opportunity back in the 70s for Pacific women to come together, many of them having arrived from the islands. The organisation is spread throughout New Zealand and works primarily, membership is women, and is focused on Pacific women and families. So it was wonderful, wonderful development. They're all thrilled about it. And great recognition for all the work that's gone into it over the years just to get the organisation recognised at this level.
Do you think this accreditation will open doors and opportunities for them?
Yes, that's absolutely the expectation. We're interested to see what that actually means and how it pans out. In simple high-level terms, it signals a recognition of the Pacific diaspora here in New Zealand, the nature and longevity of our communities, and also it recognises women and what women do within the community space, because Pacifica, and they've used the name long before it's become part of our common language and identifying our collectivity as Pacific Island communities across so many different nations, they really, I think, are foundational in actually how Pacific communities have been able to be recognised and comfortably recognised collectively here in New Zealand.
There's been quite a lot of coverage and concern following World Vision releasing its report on the aftershocks of COVID-19. But remind us of the main points, Susanna, if you would, and what might come of this. It's one thing to have a report and we all get concerned about it, and then it gets forgotten, buried under all the other concerns. But this is really significant.
It really is, and I just right at the outset suggest if anyone wants to have more detail on it, there's a link to the report and also an extensive story that Don Wiseman from RNZ Pacific has done on rnzi.com. But the report basically signals that there's a big warning coming from World Vision that the past 10 years of development gains across the Pacific region could all be undone because of the challenges of COVID-19, the impact of the pandemic, that while there have been relatively low to no cases in many Pacific nations, the impact, economic impact on households, so almost two-thirds of households have either lost jobs or lost income, they've had to resort to alternative sources of income, an incredible rise in the number of children who are going out to work, one in five houses skips meals or has cheaper food for their meals because they can't afford to have a healthy diet. And so that's, of course, got flow-on compounding factors as it relates to food prices overall in the region, but also the impacts on health. Vanuatu is being signalled by World Vision as the most severely impacted, with the price of food soaring by 30.6%. So these are just some of the examples. It's a very in-depth report. It's always a challenge with this kind of timing that we've got to summarise any further than that. But the impacts are significant and will be long-lasting. The call is for funds to come from developed countries like New Zealand to address this so that all of that good work of the past 10 years isn't lost.
The response to the New Zealand government committing $1.3 billion over 4 years to support our Pacific countries most vulnerable to climate change, I mean, the timing is pretty obvious, isn't it, ahead of Glasgow, but how's it been received in the Pacific?
Well, the timing's been acknowledged and it's been received. So, received well. Pacific Islands Forum, the Secretary General, Henry Puna, who's also the Prime Minister of the Cook Islands, has acknowledged it positively. Federated States of Micronesia, President there, David Panuelo, also acknowledging New Zealand's offer of more than half of $1.3 billion New Zealand dollars. The Marshall Islands also, their Foreign Minister, Kirsten Nemra, acknowledging New Zealand's commitment in this space, and also acknowledging the timing as we're days away from the start of COP26. I was just having a quick catch-up just before coming on air with you, Lynn, with SPREP, SPREP being the regional intergovernmental organisation for environment and sustainable development. That's in the South Pacific, so everything from the equator down. And they are tasked with the extraordinary logistics of getting their delegation, who are supporting Pacific nations, at the table in Glasgow, physically to Glasgow. But some countries are not able to physically send people from their capitals, so instead they've nominated representatives who are based in the United States. The UN mission for Samoa is sending their person because someone physically from Samoa cannot get to Glasgow. So it's all of that degree of movement that's going on. The SPREP person was saying that there's actually their first four members of their delegation are just in transit here in Auckland. After that, they'll go to Dubai, and then from Dubai, they'll fly directly to Glasgow.
We'll have to hope it's not a talk fest. Thank you so much. That's Susanna Leotawa.